You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. 2 years ago tomorrow, scientist Daniel Lack was climbing in the Flatirons near Boulder when he saw the first plume of smoke from the Four Mile Canyon fire. It worried him, but he realized it was also an opportunity, so he headed into work. Now, Lack isn't a firefighter. He's an atmospheric researcher, and he's interested in how fires contribute to global warming through something called black carbon. Lack and his colleagues have just published the results of their work. Dan, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to get to your results momentarily, but the Four Mile Canyon fire, I guess, presented a rare opportunity for you as a researcher, didn't it?
It certainly did. I believe it was Labor Day, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was up climbing the fifth Flatiron with a good friend of mine, and he pointed out to me a really weird cloud that seemed to be heading out east. And when I looked up, I said, I don't think that's a cloud. I think that's smoke. So we finished our climb, and while we were sort of checking out the amazing plume, I realized that this might be a good opportunity to head into the lab and actually collect some data. It turned out I wasn't the only one who had that idea. A lot of my colleagues were already in the lab doing exactly the same thing.
Well, what were the results of the air sampling that you did during the fire?
I guess it might be easier if I back up a little and just sort of start the story from the beginning with the climate change issues that we're dealing with. The biggest issue is carbon dioxide, but black particles in the atmosphere, which what we call black carbon, what people might refer to as soot, which comes out of diesel engines and that kind of thing, they actually have a very big impact on warming itself. So we have developed these instruments to try and get a better sense of what the warming of these black carbon particles actually do.
So what could be other sources of this soot?
It comes out of anything that burns that's not efficient. So forest fires is a very good example. Probably 60 or 70% of the black carbon in the atmosphere comes from forest fires around the world.
Okay.
In third world countries, a lot of cooking and energy production is done with what they refer to biofuels. Taking dried dung or picking up sticks and leaves and burning that's a huge source as well. Massive ships plying the ocean, carrying the containers full of goods from China to Europe and the US, or diesel trucks, anything that burns something can produce this.
And the point is that it's not the carbon dioxide that is affecting the climate at this point. It's these materials, these fine particles emitted from this not so efficient burning.
Yeah, exactly. Carbon dioxide comes out as well, so that has a long-term climate effect. But the soot that comes out, this black carbon, there's little particles in the atmosphere, they'll hang out and they'll absorb light and they warm up a lot. And so wherever these black particles are in the atmosphere, you'll have a little bit of heating around them. And the bigger the plume is, the more heating you'll have around that plume.
This is the same science that makes the black car I drive super hot in the summer when I get into it. It has absorbed all of the light.
That's exactly right.
The heat. What were you able to find about these kinds of particulates in the Four Mile Canyon fire?
We went out sampling the emissions from the forest fire with the expectation we would see warming from the soot. And what actually we found was that because the fire is not very efficient relative to, say, a combustion inside a diesel engine, some of the cellulose in the wood, I guess, some of this material doesn't quite burn completely and forms oils. These oils actually coated the black carbon and created what we can best describe as a magnifying glass. So you can imagine a little particle of black carbon. It has a certain surface area exposed to the light. But if you put a very, very clear magnifying glass around it, you can focus more light onto it. And we found that this black carbon was actually absorbing 50 to 70% more radiation just because of this magnifying glass of oils around the little black particle.
And this has an effect of raising the local temperature or what?
Wherever these black carbon particles are, you'll have an increase in the temperature surrounding that particle.
Well, you're listening to Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're talking about some research that came out of the Four Mile Canyon fire that burned near Boulder 2 years ago. There were tests of the air while that fire was burning to study the effect of black carbon, what we might call soot, in the atmosphere. It actually contributes to warming. And joining us is atmospheric researcher Daniel Lack. So I hear this and I think, okay, this is an interesting physical reaction happening, but it sounds infinitesimal in a way, right? Like these particles aren't going to be in the air forever. That fire will eventually, hopefully, be put out. Why does this matter?
It matters purely because of the volume of this material that's in the atmosphere. There's burning going on all over the world at every minute of every day. And forest fires are a very, very big contribution to this. You know, you can pick a continent, you can pick a region, and there will be forest fires raging out of control in any of those regions, usually at any point in the year. So there's just a lot of this material in the atmosphere, and the more that goes into the atmosphere, the bigger the problem gets. This contribution between the natural cycle of forest fires compared to how much we put in from burning of fossil fuels or how much we put into the atmosphere from the burning of biofuels, it all contributes to a pretty significant effect of warming compared to the carbon dioxide problem.
How long do the effects of black carbon last?
The particles last in the atmosphere for 10 days to 2 weeks, and that compares to carbon dioxide, which has a lifetime of about 100 years. It's actually a very interesting area of research because if we could turn off the sources of black carbon, within 2 weeks, we will see a detectable change in the temperature. But of course, what we have to do to cut off those sources is a pretty big effort, just like controlling CO2.
And of course, there's just some that we won't be able to control because they're from natural processes.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's one of the big findings from this paper is a clearer understanding of what a natural source of this black carbon actually does to the atmosphere.
And can you put a finer point on that for us? In other words, numbers or a percentage increase in temperature or something like that around the Four Mile Canyon fire in Boulder?
That's a very hard thing to say, and I think we need a lot more modeling results and interpretation to be able to do that. What our results will be able to do is provide a clearer understanding of what we need to look at in the future and what the various contributions of warming in the atmosphere actually are from forest fires.
What equipment do you use to be able to measure this? These fine bits of material to detect oil on their surface and then to detect their effect. These are all very, you know, on a really small scale.
It's called a photoacoustic absorption spectrometer. And effectively, what this is a little tube inside a piece of metal that the particles get pulled through and we hit it with a pulse of laser light. And that particle freaks out, it heats up, and then very, very quickly it releases that heat to the air around it. And that creates a sound wave, which we detect with very, very small but sensitive microphones. And these microphones started their life many decades ago as CIA-type microphones. And so we can detect the sound that these particles are emitting after they heat up.
CIA, in other words, like spy, the tiny spy microphones.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. They started their life as those guys.
There's a photo of this at cpr.org, and I'm noticing in this photo lights of different colors. There's blue, there's green, there's red. What's happening here?
What we're trying to do is to look at what's happening across the visible wavelength spectrum. So if you think about the colors of the rainbow, on one side you have the violet, on the other side you have the red, and in the middle is green. And that's exactly what we've done. We've chosen our instrumentation and the colors of our lasers to match the edges and the middle so we get a clear picture across the visible wavelength.
And as many studies do, this one raises more questions.
It certainly does. We certainly hope that there's not going to be any more major fires out behind Boulder anytime soon. But we will turn these instruments on at any opportunity and we'll continue to figure out, get a better understanding of what's actually happening.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Daniel Lack is with CU Boulder's Cooperative Institute for Research in Environmental Sciences. His research on the heat-trapping effects of forest fires was just published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. You can see photos of Lack and of his photoacoustic absorption spectrometer at cpr.org.